What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another Tim Minutes podcast. I'm your host, Tim Minutes, and this is my podcast, Cool Conversations with Really Cool People. And man, do I have a sweet conversation for us today. But before I get into that, let's get into some business. First off, a big shout out to our sponsor, Quiet River Massage and Revival in Syracuse, Indiana. Jasmine does amazing massages. Guys, it's 2024 and you're stressed out. So why don't you de-stress your life and get a massage from Jasmine. She does 30, 60, 90 minute hot rocks, essential oils, you name it. She does it. She's awesome. And Timon approved for sure. Thank you so much for sponsoring Jasmine. Go check her out. If you have had a massage by her, give her a review. If you have not, follow her on Instagram, Quiet River Massage. Link to her website and also Instagram are in the show notes below. But yes, so today I had a great conversation set up, guys. I sat down with Aaron Weeks, and dude, he has a story. It's crazy, from just living in a redwood tree out in the California forest to just the life that he lives and the things that he sees. And I really appreciated sitting down, talking to him, chatting with him. Guys, you will definitely love this conversation. So let me get out of the way and enjoy my conversation with Aaron. Okay, yeah, let's do it. 3, 2, 1, we're in. So welcome, Aaron.
It's good to be here. I dig the kind of bootleg feel, just getting started. Yeah. I totally dig it. Not enough of this in Indiana.
Dude, you're definitely in my basement. That's the. And I feel weird, like when I bring people down to the podcast studio, it's like, yeah, let me just open the basement. It's dark. You have to flip on the light and it just descends into the red. Yeah, I feel weird. Bring people in, but it's okay.
I'm telling you, like, not to like invoke the name, but right. Joe Rogan, I mean, he started just bullshitting with his friends.
Yeah, that's the key.
So like, that's all it is, man. That's all it is. And that's what we all should be doing, because our voices need to be heard. And the only way to hear it, actually know what the consensus is if we're all speaking.
Right. Yeah. It's so important, because a lot of times we just hear whatever the narrative is, mm-hmm. right? Whatever the government wants or whoever's in power wants you to hear. It's like, yeah. And I think, you know, I've thought about Joe Rogan a lot. Why was he successful? He did it because he just enjoyed it, right, you know? Right. And so I have known individuals who do podcasting because they want to do a business, which is great. And other people do it because they niche into something. They know how to explain something. There's a whole world. There's a lot of things you can do podcasting. But for me, I enjoy it. And so it's like, all right, whatever happens, let's just hang out and have fun. And it's a creative way to like let stuff out, but also highlight individuals in the community, let other people's voices be heard. And yeah, man,
I think it's the frontier of communications technology. Like, old world media is dying. It is on its way out. What is going to replace it? And it's going to be a collective of thousands of voices speaking at the same time. And you'll see these voices come together every so often in a loud outcry that cannot be ignored.
So,
you know, 1,000 people saying this is not acceptable will get the government to change.
Yeah. Yes, because they'll hear it. Mm-hmm. Instead of just one person like, yeah, it's acceptable, listen to me, da-da-da-da-da, right? Yeah. Well, it's cool how all this has come about, too, because, you know, we just kept on running into each other, and over-talking. I don't know if you get it sometimes, but I'm like, I'll think things, and I'm like, I need to talk to this person, I need to blah, 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 blah. And you just kept on coming into my mind. Every time I would talk to you at Intera, right, I would chat with you and I'm like, I need to have this guy on the podcast. I need to have this guy on the podcast. And then when we talked at Canela that one day, I'm like, Allison, I got to get him on the podcast.
Is that the name of that place? I never knew.
Really?
I was just like the bread store, man.
Yeah, the bread store.
The place I get my sandwiches.
Yeah, exactly. We do enjoy that place for the pastries and the bread, and even the sandwiches are good too.
It was the closest thing, man. It was a store of convenience.
Yeah, walk right over it. But it's been cool just getting to, you know, it's funny how relationships build and grow. And so, yeah, it's been cool getting to know you. So let's start out first, bro, before we even get into all the great stuff. Tell people who you are, where you're from, how you got to Goshen. all that fun stuff. That might be a long story too, so feel free to go as long as you want.
Well, I'll make it a bridge just because it's kind of a long one, and a lot of it was just being a stoner hippie on the beach.
Nice.
But I was born in Eureka, California. I grew up in a little fishing village just north of there called Crescent City, California. It's out of the way even for most Californians. It's essentially Oregon.
Wow.
It was actually the start of a secessionist movement. There was going to be Northern California seceding from Southern California called the State of Jefferson.
Okay.
And had a collection of states. Today there's movements like that. But then it wasn't an ask. It was a tell, and there was armed militia like saying, wow. Like, this is Jefferson now. You're going to deal with it.
Wow. Yeah. That's what it used to be. But it was almost there.
Yeah. But unfortunately, World War II happened. And so there's this town.
Or for the government, fortunately. California, fortunately.
Actually, you see that in a lot of wars is like a convenient war breaks out and like patriotism is drummed up to quell dissent.
Yeah.
You see that again and again and again.
Yeah.
But the State of Jefferson was going to be a thing. They were going to put in their Declaration of Secession from California, not from the Union.
Yeah.
They didn't, though, because Oregon, technically, Brookings, Oregon, there's a mountain right outside of it called Elk Mountain, and it was bombed by the Japanese the same day as Pearl Harbor. And so I'm closer to Brookings, Oregon in my hometown than I am to any other California town.
Wow.
So this is essentially what I think happened to my people.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, it's a state away. It happened right there. And it specifically for the rednecks in that area, they took it real personal.
Right.
And so
bombed you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So two thermo bombs, they were trying to burn down the forest and create a natural disaster.
Wow.
To distract the U.S. military. But they didn't realize that the Pacific Northwest is a rainforest.
Yeah.
the idea of
they should hit L.A. They would have been fine in L.A., right?
Well, yeah. You think of California, you think of fires.
Right.
But the fires don't happen up north.
Wow. Yeah.
Do because of mismanagement, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah. So that's where you're originally from.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then how did you get to Goshen?
Just a lot of traveling, hearing about work. I've always been chasing that dollar.
Yeah.
Grew up poor. Grew up not knowing how money works.
Yeah.
And just like everything else, it has laws that it functions on.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about the laws that our current rulers are instituting.
Right.
I'm talking about the truth of how money flows.
Like the basic principles.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Nice. I have a button for that. So you give me a nod, I can...
Okay. Good to know. But
I love that.
No. Our system, a lot of people have heard of usury, and that's the getting money for nothing. It's charging interest.
Right.
There's another biblical term. It's called lucre.
Okay.
And that's making money dishonestly.
Oh.
Making money by ill-gotten gains, by under paying your employees, by overcharging your customers.
Right.
That's what our entire system is built off of. Everybody thinks it's usury. No. The banks are evil. But it is the fact that we're all just participating in lucre, trying to get the most for our own.
Yeah.
If you look at ancient societies, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, they're more harvest and
community.
Right.
And communism will never work. But
right.
A community-based system, not a global-based system.
Right.
Will bring back, and there's an economic collapse coming that will reset everything.
Yeah.
But to get back to the where I came from.
I love this. This is so great.
Grew up in California. It's not the California everybody thinks of. It's Podunk. It's the term Okie comes from the Dust Bowl when all of the Oklahoma migrants moved to California. They moved to Northern California.
Oh.
And that's where the term Okie comes from. And so there's a large bluegrass, large Southern influence in Northern California that you wouldn't even know about.
Wow.
You can think of California as America flipped on its head.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, yeah. So it's like all the Southerners are up north. All the Northerners are down south. Wow. Interesting.
Right. And right now there's a big invasion of Southerners going. And I'm talking about Native Americans, not the feather. I'm talking about just
Americans
who live here.
Southern Californians
that are moving north for the cheaper rent, for the better economy.
Yeah.
Because it was a more traditional economy in the north. Before Silicon Valley, it was orchards in Central California.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of pot and yeah. and logging in Northern California.
Wow.
And you're right on the Pacific, so fishing everywhere.
Wow.
When you think of, like, have you ever seen Gravity Falls?
No, I haven't.
It's a modern cartoon.
Okay.
If you want or not. But it has a lot of Northern Californian stereotypes.
Gotcha.
And they are very true. You got the crazies, you got the stoners, you got the, like, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So those, worth the watch.
Yeah. So that's Gravity Falls. But that's the vibe you came up in. I remember we were talking to Canella. You're saying that majority of people in your town either worked at the prison because they had a massive prison there, or were going to end up at the prison because they grew so much pot.
Right. Right. So that's Pelican Bay State Prison.
Okay.
Like one of the hardest prisons ever. I've seen documentaries about it. 600 miles from civilization. I grew up right next to it. It was technically in a town just north of us called Brookings, Fort Dick.
Okay.
Fort Dick is technically the town.
Yeah.
in the county of Del Norte County, there's only one incorporated town, and that's Crescent City.
Wow. Okay.
They say it has a population of 8,000. That's including the prison.
So
that's BS. I always say 500 to 1,000, depending on the day.
Wow. Yeah. Depending if they're in town or not.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's you. You were in the middle of nowhere, really.
Yeah.
California.
It was endless redwood forest and endless ocean.
That's beautiful, though.
It's beautiful, but there's no economy. Like, I'd go back in a heartbeat if California wasn't so crazy.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. California is crazy. And it's the southern that's really kind of dictating all the craziness.
Well, there, you can look up a map, and it's a color-coded map. Four colors. Each color is 25% of the population. You can spot San Francisco.
Mm.
You can spot San Diego. And you can spot Sacramento.
Wow.
Or not San. L.A.
L.A.
Not yeah. Sacramento.
I don't see this.
But then the rest of it's all the 25% of the population is everything else.
Wow. So those three cities really just make up the... I know 1 in 20, like 5% of America lives in the greater L.A. area. Like it's, 1 in 20 people in America live in the greater LA.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I've been to LA before, and it was just like, it was a little, it wasn't so
it's,
much.
It's exactly what was voted in.
Really?
If you look at footage from LA in, I would say, 1950, 1960.
Yeah.
It's
much different vibe.
It's homogenous. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that say, well, that's racist to look at it that way. It was 90% white people right on the Mexican border. So
wow.
there's been a shift in the last 60 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a whole slew of diversity down there, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of people who say what happens in California is what happens to the rest of the nation in 10 years.
Mm.
And we see the domination of cities being a common factor.
Yeah. And most people, I mean, it's interesting because you'll look at a state, it's a red state, but the city's blue, right? You look at homeless. Now, where is homeless mainly at? The cities, right? Mm-hmm. It's interesting to see those things that you're talking about.
And as a former member of that homeless population, it's a choice, man.
Really?
It is a choice. And it's enabled because you don't think it is, because I got all these social benefits. I got all this shit that I'm not willing to give up, because then I'm going to be even lower than what I was.
Oh.
But, you know, the art of war, burn those fucking ships.
Yeah.
Do not give yourself a reason to fall back.
Right. Right. And just back against the wall and go forward. Yeah.
So for most of my life, I was just moving to different cities. If shit wasn't working and I was like, fuck, this is going to just repeat and repeat and repeat. And that's what the rest of my life is going to look like.
Yeah. I moved. Wow. Okay. So when did you leave Northern California? Let's walk down this progression a little bit because I'm loving this. So you left your podunk town out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. I left when I was 16.
Okay.
So I went to Wyoming. I was staying with my dad. We didn't get along the best. So it was short lived.
Yeah.
I graduated high school. First one in my family to do so.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then I went back to California because fuck Wyoming.
Yeah.
Fuck Wyoming.
Yeah, for real. Because it was worse than California, for sure.
What, worse? Everybody's a sourpuss, and the wind never stopped blowing.
Oh, wow.
40 miles an hour every day, 90 mile an hour gusts.
Oh, God.
Fuck Wyoming.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Everybody says Yellowstone. Yellowstone is just southern Montana.
Not Wyoming at all.
Not Wyoming.
Wow.
And, well, I was on the 80, and I don't remember what the highway was from going from 80 to Casper, but I was in Casper and I was in Rawlins. Fuck okay. Rawlins. Fuck Rawlins.
I love it. Yeah. So you left that.
Went back to California, started doing the beach bum life.
Okay.
Was just like, fuck it, man. I'm in my early 20s.
Yeah. I'm just going to chill.
I'm going to chill. I'm going to get some part-time jobs. I ended up getting a job as a teller, you know,
yeah,
and bookkeeping and all those kind of jobs.
Yeah.
Just because it's easy work. And yeah, if you can pretend not to be homeless long enough, they give you the job.
Yeah. And it's a customer service job. It's like a retail in a way. You're dealing with people on the front line. Mm-hmm. And I did a teller job in college. So I know exactly kind of I had a flavor of that where you're dealing with people who had no money and it's just like, they're mad at you because of their life choices.
You're the face of the bank, man.
Yeah.
You are the evil corporation.
You are the evil corporation. So, but yeah. So you were a teller back then.
Back then I was started off as night audit.
So okay.
Night audit comes in at like 3 a.m., counts all the money.
Oh, wow.
They're under like 5 cameras.
Right.
So you're not stealing none of that money.
Right.
And then
they've got systems in place. They got checks and balances for
absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely. All yeah. that stuff. So
if you're dumb, you steal money and then they know.
You're just fucked. Yeah. And like, why? If you're going to steal anything, steal from a silver or gold coin shop. I guarantee you they have more value than any bank has.
I was always the statistic I heard when I was with teller, like you'd only keep maybe $3,000 in your drawer. That was the rules that were set on us. Mm. They said you could walk into any pharmacy and get $30,000 worth of just prescriptions.
Yeah.
Like that easily. Exactly. That's where you want to go. Not that I'm advocating anyone steal. Please.
Yes. I'm not advocating any breaking of laws. Yeah. This is not my idea. You're the dumbass, not me.
Yeah. I love it. So, okay. So you became a teller and it was just kind of like a job. You were doing odd and end jobs, night audit.
Yeah. 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 Just working through trying to get established in any community. If I didn't see the job progressing, if it was dead end, I'd ditch.
Okay. Yeah.
Just because there will be a community. I had that idea that, oh, there's a small town out there somewhere.
Right.
And I never lived in the big cities. It was always, I think 50,000, 70,000 was the biggest I ever got.
Gotcha.
And that was just to avoid what was already a draw of leeching off the system of just becoming professionally homeless.
Yeah.
And in the big city, you can manipulate the system a lot easier and a lot faster, and there's people there to help you.
Hmm.
I was going to make it on my own. I wasn't going to go to the city.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because they're cesspits, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and you don't want that title. You don't want it. Why take the... Yeah, that makes sense. So you were kind of... Were you like just living in your car and then going to work? Or
some of the times, or, you know, there's the hollow out trees if you're in the redwoods.
No way. Yeah.
Well, a lightning strike will hit them. It'll burn up the inside. So all of the outside will look just like a normal
tree.
Fucked up tree. Like
right.
Burned up. And then you'll have a hole at the bottom. You crawl into it.
It's huge.
Yeah. Massive.
No way.
Yeah. You throw a tent in there. You have like a living space. It's...
Oh, that's so sick.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I was up there gold panning for a little while and just like doing my thing in the Northern California wilderness. Because, like, it's a wilderness and it'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
But as long as you're keeping like within earshot of civilization,
you're good.
You're good.
Like, did you like see people out there at all? I mean, sometimes.
Mountain lions and bears.
Really? Yeah. That's where, yeah, it could really.
Yeah. I'm not very afraid of California black bears. California black bears. The biggest they get is 600 pounds.
Okay.
And you just shit yourself and you're like, fuck, 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 fuck. Yeah. And then they go away because they see, oh, human, I'm going to go away now.
Right, right.
They're still hunted in Northern California. Fun fact, California, if you're a resident of California, a bear tag's only like $5.
Really?
Yeah.
So you could, I bet they taste good too.
They're a little greasy.
Yeah.
That's Oregon Town, shout out Grants Pass, has a butchery that has all those kind of exotic meats available.
Oh. So you can try them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
They're hick enough that they have a steady supply.
That's awesome. That's so living in hollow out trees, kind of just working from thing to thing. Did you ever make it to the city as a homeless?
No. I refused to go. Okay. And the thing would be, I could work a place 3-4 months, but you couldn't keep up the niceties.
Yeah.
So the clothes would start looking shitty.
Yeah.
You'd come in smelly one day because.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Place to shower.
Exactly. Couldn't afford a gym membership because, you know, you couldn't afford it. So you couldn't you abuse their showers.
Yeah. Did you have like credit cards and stuff or no? Probably not.
I didn't have any income. I was essentially like slipped through the cracks, off the grid.
Wow.
Unfortunately, like it wasn't self-imposed. It was just like.
Just how it all.
Nobody's helping out a white guy. I remember I was 16. I went into the social office. I was like, please help me. I'm homeless. And they're like, fuck you.
No way.
Yeah. They're like, is your mom homeless? No. Okay. Well then
go live with her.
I just got kicked out.
Yeah. Wow. That's wild. Yeah. So you were just like, okay, well then you got to figure it out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're just kind of scrapping together just from thing to thing to thing. Do you stay mainly in California or were you?
Oh no, I went to Montana. I went to Nevada. I went to, Oregon, Washington, like
wow, all over the West Coast.
Yeah, the last place before I was here, I was in Oklahoma. I was trying to help my dad do a trucking company.
Yeah,
and then COVID hit, trucking company went down.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just the wrong timing.
That we had no idea how to run a business. you know the hard knock like education.
Yeah,
that's exactly how we learned how to run a business.
Wow, like,
everything we did, just don't do that.
Yeah, learn from our mistakes. Yeah. So do you feel like it's kind of switched for you a little bit, like coming to here a little bit, or has it been?
I'm 30.
Okay? Yeah.
So like,
yep.
I turned 30 during the pandemic.
Okay. Yep.
My bones ache. I'm not in my 20s.
Right.
Shit ain't cute.
Right. Yeah.
So where you are is where you're going to be. Dig in. And I'm trying to put down roots. I'm trying to buy a house, fix my credit, all that stuff.
Right. Right. Has working, because you're now at Intera, right? And so has working at, and we can bleep that out if we need to.
Intera is an evil organization. No, they're chill. They're mainly agricultural. Fun fact, they've been in Indiana the whole time. They were founded in this county.
That's cool.
They were founded by farmers during the Great Depression saying like, fuck it, man, we can help each other.
Right.
And
they're a credit union as well. It's not a bank, which is different.
Much, much different. So credit unions are member owned. Banks are investor owned.
Yeah.
And so banks have an incentive
to make the most money.
Well, to take from you and to deposit into shareholders' bank accounts.
Hmm.
A credit union has an incentive not to piss you off.
Yeah. yeah.
Because all you have to do to ruin a credit union is tell your community these people are shit.
Right. Right. Yeah. We don't care about you. We don't even work with you.
We at Natera, we got 16 locations. We're a big credit union. We're I think 2 billion.
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe just shy of 2 billion.
Yeah.
But that's all ag. That's all
farmers. That's all. Yeah.
And when we get into the economic collapse, like that'll be a stable market. But housing right now is fucked.
Yeah. It's wild. I mean, you saw my house. I mean, it's, I'm blessed to get this in 2016. Like I missed a lot. It was one of the best. I think it was God. If I'm gonna be honest, I was at a networking event. I was talking to a guy. He said, if I was you, I just hear the voice of God. If I was you, Timon, I would buy a house and get 4 of your buddies and rent it out. And they just pay you, bro. And I'm like, all right, thanks, God. Like, I appreciate that. And then I'm like, it resonated with me, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, I'm gonna do that. So I did it. And I'm like, do I want to stay here? Don't want to move. I was 26 at the time. And I'm like, do I really want to go? But I'm like, I'm going to do this. I think this is a wise decision. If I do need to sell in a couple of years, I can. I'm so thankful I got the house when I did. Because I am a step ahead of a lot of my peer group who are buying houses now. I'm 4 steps ahead because of that. They're paying probably triple what I paid or double what I paid for the same house. You know, it's like So I'm very thankful for that. I don't think it's going to last. Yeah.
See, the great thing that is, especially if you have a fixed rate mortgage.
Yeah.
Is if the dollar hyperinflates, which it should.
Right.
The only reason that it hasn't, I think, is because we have the world's biggest military.
Right.
But if it hyperinflates,
you gotta buy oil through the U.S. dollar right now. Well, for right now, but
for right now, yeah. But and we can get into BRICS nations here right. in a minute. But if it hyperinflates, you can pay off your house in no problem.
Right.
If the market collapses, which it should also,
we're due and for
housing
it. Right.
Worse shit because housing won't be worth shit because what BlackRock, other large investors are investing in.
Housing now.
But the problem is that in big cities, everybody's abandoning them.
Like Detroit. I remember blocks of Detroit. You could buy like a block. This was a couple of years ago, but you could buy a block of Detroit for like, $20,000. The whole, and there's so many houses, but no one's living there. It's just all, there's trees growing through the houses.
But now it's happening with skyscrapers. It's happening with skyscrapers. It's happening in New York.
Wow. Yeah.
So the idea with Detroit was, let's blame the black folk.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that. It was the idea of there wasn't any work. There wasn't
manufacturing shifted overseas.
It was the lucre idea of we're going to make our company.
Good callback right there, dude. I love that. Yeah.
Well, I think that's all of our economic woes are tied to that because the companies that were loyal to their people were no longer loyal to their people, and they were loyal to their investors,
right.
And their hedge fund managers.
Wow, yeah. So it's about making the top dollar and making their investors rich,
and just going up 2% in their profit margins.
Yeah,
and they destroyed Detroit. Now all the other cities are doing it too.
Right,
And you're gonna see it come back if we fix our economy. If the economy collapses, it adjusts. You'll see stuff coming back because those companies will be forced to die.
Right. Yeah.
So you got something.
Because they won't have people buying into them.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm tracking with you.
And I mean, these mega corporations own everything.
Yeah. You will own nothing and be happy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's three mega corporations that essentially own all of America.
BlackRock
is
State Street.
State Street and Vanguard.
And Vanguard, okay.
But
BlackRock's owned by who, or what? You just.
But they're all owned by each other.
Okay.
There's a fella I watch on TikTok that goes over everything, and he has spreadsheets and great maps.
Yeah, high level information.
Much better than I can go here on a podcast. I'm just talking shit.
I love it. That's what this is for. This is this avenue right here, dude.
Yeah. If you want to back up anything I'm saying, just assume I'm speaking in good faith or I'm wrong. I'm not trying to be a dick.
I love it.
But you've got all these mega corporations that own everything. And it's because when we had a correction in 2008, they were saved from that correction.
Right. We bailed them out. Government bailed them out.
So in the Redwood Forest, the only way that new growth can happen is when the old growth dies.
Mm.
So you get one of these 5,000-year-old trees. It falls over. The amount of canopy space that opens up is tremendous.
Wow.
Not only that, but the way redwoods work is that the children of that tree will grow out of the corpse of the redwood. It'll grow the
nutrients. It just deposits nutrients.
Exactly.
Wow.
And it'll come up on top of that redwood. That redwood will decay, and then you get like elephant roots going out that you can crawl through when the tree's totally alive.
Wow. And then it just springs up from there.
Yeah. So you, over the course of hundreds and hundreds of years, this new redwood that's now 200 feet tall is over what was a bigger redwood tree.
Wow.
That's totally rotted away. And then that provides a home, the people that provides a home for all those raccoons, for all those, those woodland creatures to go under and live in.
Right. Those black bears that you pooped yourself when you saw.
Fuck them bad bears, man. Those are scary. But hey, mountain lions are scarier.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Mountain lions will eat you.
Yeah. They are not scared of humans. Yeah. I've seen those like videos where the guys walk in and the mountain lions just tracing him as he's following. Oh,
yeah, yeah. I would rather fight a black bear with a Bowie knife than a mountain lion with a gun.
Wow.
Like yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah, that would freak me out. Yeah, with a machine gun.
Yeah. Even then. Well, I'd be comfortable then if it was like a gladiatorial thing. I'd be fine. Yeah. But if it's just like a pea shooter,
yeah, no, thank you.
No, especially if we're on his turf.
Just gonna get angry. He's gonna eat me even more. Yeah. He's gonna play with me before he kills me. Yeah.
There's a bunch of meme videos on TikTok where it's just like find the mountain lion.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can't tell where it's at.
Yeah, yeah. There's my favorite was the feller who was. Mountain lion looked down all pissed off, and then it cuts to another dude, and it's like, don't boop that snoot.
Don't poop it. Boop. That's sweet. So, dude, I love that the way you that symbology of the redwood dying, and I can see that with the large corporations. They need to die to open up that canopy space for people to breathe and to grow again and to grow stronger.
And the old redwood didn't give a fuck about how it was happening on the floor. Right. It would kill everything that was next to it.
Mm.
That's how this, the old growth, you'll always see these like cleared out right next to the trees. When you look up pictures of old redwood trees and people standing next to them.
Yeah.
There's nothing growing up next to them.
Because of they quench all sunlight.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all for them.
Wow.
They die. Smaller redwoods grow up and you know, there's place for both.
Right.
But these smaller redwoods grow up and provide a space for these other things. And wow. You see that in Detroit. You see that in New York, where these small companies were for where they were.
Mm-hmm.
These large companies are for where the profit is, the sunlight.
Right. Wow. I love that. I love nature. So it's like cool to see that. Yeah.
Oh, dude, the forest is a brutal place. And you can look at the forest and you can look at how business works.
Mm.
Because God makes things rhyme.
Yeah.
And it's one in one. You say that, oh, we're evolved, we're out of it. No, dude, we just built structures that blind ourselves to the reality of things.
Boy, we don't even see what's going on. Oh man. Did you learn a lot of like deep principles from being kind of outside society? Like, would you say?
Essentially, you figure out what's bullshit and you figure out what feeds you.
Gotcha. And so, yeah, you just focus on what feeds you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to realize you're not the center of the universe. Nobody gives a fuck. Yeah. No one's coming to save you. Shit hurts.
Yeah.
And pain cures stupid.
Mm. Dang. What are some of like examples of like you would say you were stupid and the pain cured it a little bit?
Oh, when I started getting hot in college, I wasn't as big. I'd jump into relationships with women and
quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be a dickhead loser. Like find a good woman, build a house, do what you did, have a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of the red pill movement will say, oh yeah, fuck them all. No.
Yeah.
If we want to see real change in our community, we are men. We make that change.
Wow. Yeah.
So, oh, I can't find a good woman. Great. Buy a house. Build a garden, do everything that will attract women.
Mm-hmm. Set the foundation.
Exactly. Yeah. And then be smart about picking them.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be 1,000 that want to come in just to fuck up your life. Yeah. And just pick the right one. Now in college, I didn't do that.
You're just wherever the wind sailed kind of. Right?
Oh, any port in a storm. I was a little bit of a whore.
There's something to that, man. You also attract what you put out, you know? And so if you are, let's whoring, right? What are you going to attract?
Oh, right.
Right.
You got these blue pill movements or red pill movements that are like, oh, fuck these bitches, man. Let's just use them a pump and dump.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Why would a good Christian woman ever attempt to talk to
so you? Slimy too. Like, why manipulate someone? I mean, there you get the it's instant gratification, which is what our culture is living in right now. Instant gratification. But it's not. There's something beautiful that, I mean, I have a daughter. It's my first one. There's something so amazing to having like a little you that. How did that create? It just blows my mind. But Also knowing that I've created it with someone who we're both stable and we're both growing in the same direction. Dude, it closes so many places where my mind would be running if I wasn't in a firm foundation with someone else. Like if I was in a rocky relationship and also having a kid and then also having the stress of that and trying to provide for it. If you don't have a good connection with someone, things rock, man. It's like no sleep, and you're dealing with stuff. You're trying to make decisions and you're also like your hands are tied behind your back sometimes because you're just trying to move forward.
Exactly.
So having exactly. There is something about, I just feel bad for people who jump in and then when a kid's brought into it, then that kid is being brought into a place where there's not stability. And so it's like, it's scary. It's scary. And I'm seeing a lot of people. I went to a Christian college, Grace in Warsaw. Are you familiar with that? Maybe not.
I'm not familiar it's with fine. It, but you say Christian college, there's plenty of stereotypes.
And I'm at the point where I'm also 30 and I'm seeing a lot of people who jumped into relationships quickly at that college just to get to get out of it, are now, those are collapsing on like a really high rate. And so it's just been fascinating to watch that. I waited till I recently got married, 2021. So it's been, I live my life for a while, but I'm so thankful I waited.
Congratulations, by
jump
the way.
In. No, thank you. Yeah. I'm thankful that I didn't jump in. And I think there's some wisdom to that. I saw kind of the cycles of all that stuff, but yeah, I don't know what we were talking about at the start. I jumped into my little tangent. You were talking about the pain and the stupid.
Well, yeah. Pain cures stupid.
Yep.
That's why a lot of dudes in their 18, 19, young, dumb, and full of cum is the adage.
Yeah.
And life will cure that. Yeah. And either you stay a dick-led loser who lives in his basement and plays video games and just is total into carnal, total into pleasures of right now, which will turn you into a fat fuck.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a fat fuck.
Me too. Don't worry. I love video games. It's all good.
Video games are great, in moderation, man. Yeah. Live your life.
Yeah.
Figure out what you want and
strive for it.
You're late. I don't think your early 20s are about this. If we were in a correct society, your early 20s would be what our early 30s are.
Mm. But put the foundation in place.
Yeah.
Now.
And you got to live that foundation if you do not have the community of elders guiding you in, hey, this is how to live your life.
Mm.
Men need that.
Yeah.
And we do not have that. So there's a lot of fuck ups that find out a little late.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the statistics say that in what is it, 10, 15 years, 50% of women will be without kids, and they'll be without kids for the rest of their life.
Wow.
They'll have no chance of it.
Wow.
They're more than likely going to be single.
Right.
And that's this millennial women and maybe some early Gen Z.
Yeah.
Wow. But that's going to teach a lesson to the next generation.
Right.
And it's going to be millennial men and Gen Z men that decide to fix it.
Right.
And what Gen Z will have that millennials didn't is a guiding influence.
Mm.
Boomers abandoned Gen X and millennials. They were parents of both generations.
Yeah.
Gen X didn't know what the hell was going on, and they lived under the tyranny of boomers.
Yeah.
So they didn't have a leg to stand on teaching men.
Right.
This society has been helmed by boomers for the last 60 years.
I mean, they're still running. All of our politicians are boomers.
Fucking die already.
Stop freezing. Just get, I think Mitch McConnell finally got up. But, you know, it's just like, dude, you guys are so old. Like,
yeah, step down.
Yeah.
Step.
Die. You're right. Down. They're the redwoods. They need to let the canopy open. Yeah.
Well, and they're also the satanic fucks who yes. have decided that profit is more important than people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could have provided a pathway that their parents did by fucking dying.
Right.
Because World War II just erased everybody.
Right.
The silent generation was too traumatized by that shit to do anything.
Right.
So it was boomers just accepting the wealth of America and squandering it on themselves.
Yep. RVs, baby.
Fuck RVs, man. How the fuck are you going to sell an RV and make 1,000 of them for $1 million a piece and make your employees work so hard that they have to do meth to keep up.
That's crazy.
Then they only keep the job because now they're addicted to meth.
Right. So they got to keep the supply going. It's crazy. That's what brought you here though, right? RVs.
Well, okay.
The money of RVs, right?
The money of RVs, because when I was living in Oklahoma, there ain't no work in Oklahoma. Oklahoma was kind of pretty. There ain't no work there.
I did.
I dig it. I was in Okmulgee, Oklahoma. Shout out to the Black Rodeo.
Ooh.
Biggest Black Rodeo in the nation. Unfortunately, I didn't get to go, but I would love to go back and check it out. You could get a 3-story mother-in-law unit having 5-car garage for $100,000.
Wow. Yeah.
Okmulgee, Oklahoma.
Okmulgee.
Yeah, it's south of Tulsa. Or no, not south of Tulsa. Yeah, south of Tulsa and west, east of Oklahoma City.
Okay. Yeah.
About an hour for each.
Nice.
Great little town.
That's where you try to start your business.
Yeah, yeah. But Oklahoma is shit for starting business. They're not business friendly.
Really?
Yeah, it's a shit ton of red tape. It's we're gonna make your life difficult.
The only businesses I see when I'm in Oklahoma, and I've gone a couple times. So every summer I go there and do summer camp.
No, oh, nice. And
yeah, it's dispensaries.
there's a lot. What's weird is recreational. Is last time I checked wasn't legal.
Really?
Yeah, it's all medical.
But they're everywhere.
They're fucking everywhere. Just make them make it recreational, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And if you have corrected that, it's about fucking time.
Yeah. I didn't stop. I just saw them all over the place. I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Oklahoma's a weird place.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's a place that like a cop will pull you over if he sees foreign plates.
Really?
Out of state plates. And he'll just be like, I'm going to give you a speeding ticket because you're not going to fight it.
Yeah, you're done. I'm going to make money for the state.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's so many videos of that.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah, it's that's interesting. So you it was just not friendly at all.
Not business friendly. And if I'm going to be poor and I'm going to be smacking my head into the wall, I'm going to do it somewhere a little nicer.
Yeah.
I heard that there was work up here. I heard there was financial work up here.
Nice.
I got up here. Nothing but RVs were hiring.
Did you work in the RV world for a while?
For a hot second.
Yeah. And did you realize what it was?
No, my coworker threatened to stab me.
Oh.
And I told the manager, I'm like, hey, this crazy fuck, he was 70, was threatened to stab me.
What?
We were on track. The requirement was two vans a day.
Yeah.
We were working on our third and he's like, hurry up. And then he got in my face and he's like, you're going to hurry up or I'm going to stab you.
Oh my word. Yeah. Cause it's peace, right? It's right. I'm assuming.
Not where
you
we
guys were hourly.
Not
okay.
He was just on meth.
Which makes, yeah.
Yeah. So I was just like, you can calm the fuck down.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the management, brought him into the office because it's a threat of violence.
Right.
They have to bring you into the office. And it was 2 hours of, can't we all just get along? We're family here. And it's like, I don't work with him or I don't work for you.
Yeah.
They said, just get along. And I never came back.
Yeah.
I just quit that day.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not trying to get stabbed.
What the?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That sounds like, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I'm going to be honest. It doesn't surprise me.
A lot of meth.
Yeah. It's and that really started happening in 2008. I don't know if you knew
Well, this is the Rust Belt. This is where 2008 hurt the most.
Yes. Yeah.
And I feel that. In 2008, I just turned 18 and in California, it was real.
Mm.
Northern California, it just didn't recorrect because it was a tourism industry.
Wow. Because of the forests and stuff.
Yeah. You guys were hit harder, but like it decimated Northern California.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you feel that pain. So if you've gone through that, you're like, man, I don't want to do that again.
Well, all of us have felt that pain. Why the hell are we running headlong into it again?
Barreling towards it.
Everything that happened in 2008 is happening now, but it's happening to an increased level.
So, break that down a little bit more.
Okay. So derivatives is what caused the 2008 housing bubble.
Okay.
They're just betting on shit to go good. And it's always gone good, so it always will go good.
Right.
Derivatives are, I think, a 70-something trillion dollar. That's more than all of the world economies.
Wow.
Except for the United States.
Wow. Yeah.
So if you add them all up, except the United States, which is still less on its own, it doesn't equal what derivatives we have in the stock market right now.
Oh my God.
So all the fake.
So it's money, gambling.
Yeah.
It's huge gambling.
Oh dude, the stock market is gambling for rich people.
Yeah. Oh boy.
And all the crap that's going on, it's the lucre. It's mm-hmm. I'm going to make money, and I'm going to make money because I'm going to say I make money.
Mm.
And I look like I make money, so I'm going to make money.
Right.
And I know the right people, so I'm going to make money.
Right. I might take a picture with my Lamborghini in front of my big house, but I rented both those. You won't even know it.
It's but all everyone, on credit. Everything's on credit.
Yeah.
I'll give the example of a millionaire with $10 million in his account in a penthouse in New York. The economy goes to shit, like just ends. What does he have? He's got a place he's going to die.
Yeah.
He's either going to jump off of the tower or all the resources, everything that made his life exist
is going to
dry up. It's all a mirage.
Wow.
You get a guy who barely makes enough to survive, but he owns his own property.
Right.
And I'm talking 70 acres out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
I know that's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a dream for a reason, but it wasn't a dream for boomers. If they had just chosen a simple life,
They could have had that.
They could have had 70 acres out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
some animals, high regenerative agriculture.
Right,
a wife, kids, simple life.
Right,
simple life. If everything goes to shit, and that guy has 70 acres, and his neighbor has 70 acres, he's and set. His neighbor has 120 acres,
they're set.
What do they need? They're going to ride that like nothing.
Right.
And there's going to be people eating each other in cities.
Right. And it's probably spilling out to try to find these 70 acres mm-hmm. that are out there. Yeah.
A zombie apocalypse is just a natural disaster with human combatants.
Mm.
An economic disaster is a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. That's wild. Yeah. We'll have Daisy up in here. Yeah.
If they know you have it, they're going to come for it.
Why not? Yeah. Why not?
We're the worst too. If you look at the fallout maps.
Yeah, we're near Chicago.
We're near Chicago. We're near Detroit. We're near Indianapolis.
Yeah.
If you look at the fallout maps, we're totally fucked. Yeah. But if you look at those as flow charts for where people will go.
Right.
When they leave Detroit, when they leave Chicago, when they leave Indianapolis, they're coming here.
Yeah.
And they're not coming here on purpose. No, they're just going to be waves of people.
Just try and grab stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With empty stomachs. And with cruel intent.
Yeah. The nice thing is every time I go to a gun show, all I see is Amish buying up arms.
Amazing.
They'll be pacifists until it's too late.
Yeah. An extremist Christian cult of the Amish who believe in extreme pacifism are now buying weapons.
They buy them like crazy, bro. It's nuts. I mean, I'm talking like if you go to the gun show, it's 70% Amish buying guns.
Mm-hmm.
It's nuts.
So. I do want to clarify that I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. Yeah. Jesus is king.
Jesus is king.
But the Amish are a cult. There's weird shit going on. I don't give a shit if you're Mennonite, if you're Amish.
Yeah.
Like, that ain't biblical.
Yeah. It's saved by works. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of what that boils down. It's very, and I don't know if you felt it being kind of from outside Goshen and coming in, but there's a religious spirit. It's like you have to conform to our religion to be saved. And I think that happens on a high level, but that's here pretty heavily. Like, you're not part of our group, then you're outside of our group, you know, and we are going to shun you. That's deep ingrained, embedded in that world. There's some really that's a negative, okay? There's some really beautiful things that Amish do as well. So there's both.
Well, before I moved here, man, I thought it was Little House on the Prairie. I thought it was I'll be Amish. Fuck it, man.
Yeah.
No, because it's just Catholicism. It's just Orthodoxy. It's church rule.
Yeah.
But I'm Protestant. I believe that myself and Christ have a personal relationship.
Yep.
Then I'm not going to listen to some guy saying, well, I need to fuck your sister for you to be saved.
Yeah, no, that's the, it's wild. The beautiful thing the Amish have is a real solid community. They rely on each other a lot. Like that now to a level that's not great, right?
Yeah.
Right. But,
had a healthy community, that took some of those aspects,
mm-hmm.
took some other aspects.
It would be beautiful. You can have some beautiful things.
The American dream before the boomers killed it. And mm-hmm. you used to be able to order off of the Sears catalog a house.
Yeah, I know. A Victorian house.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law is a construction worker and does construction. He's restoring a Victorian house that they bought off of this year's catalog and put together. So he's just doing it. And this is in Rensselaer. I don't know if you know where Rensselaer's at, but
not a clue.
Yeah, south of Chicago, in Indiana, still 2 hours. But it's crazy. Yeah, just like I didn't realize that was you could literally get a whole house just shipped to you.
Yeah, from and we see that now with the 3D printed houses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to be the wave of the future, dude. That is the new Sears catalog.
Is the 3D, yeah.
Because you got local plumbers, you mm-hmm. got local septic guys, you got local electricians, you're going to have local 3D guys.
Yeah. We already have them. Some of them. I mean, you're telling me about you went to
the Oh, I want to do it. That's the dream. Get out of finance, get into something real.
Yeah. So that you can provide value and
Yeah, actually raise up my community.
You're actually creating something.
Yeah,
which is legit.
The goal is a ranch style 4-bedroom with a fireplace, built for 20, sold for 40. It's still a tenth of the market. I see houses are in this area sold for 400,000 all the time. I want to sell them for 40.
Wow. Build it for 20, sell it for 40.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's 100% profit margin.
Yep.
So the banks will finance it.
Yep.
I'm probably going to need about $1 million to start.
Wow.
So I'm going to need that. But if I build a track home, so give each house 3 acres of land, build them anywhere from 2 bedrooms to 4 bedrooms, mm-hmm. and make these houses affordable, they'll get sold immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you build 80 times 40, that's a lot of fucking money. That's $3.5 million or something like that.
Right. Right, and it would all be 3D printed? Is that the point?
3D printed walls, steel roofs, Spartan insides. I'm not doing your kitchen. I'm not doing your bathroom. There's a toilet. There's a shower.
You do the rest.
There's for 40 shelves.
Though. For 40, so cheap.
Yeah, shelves, a place to put your stove, a place to put your refrigerator.
Plumbing and electrical.
Plumbing and electrical done. I wouldn't put it in the walls because it's just so much more expensive to put utilities in the walls.
Yeah.
But you run the water under the molding of the bottom trim.
Yeah.
You run the electrical behind the molding of the top trim. And you have, when needed, electrical lines going down.
Yeah.
And when needed, behind shelving, water lines coming up to feed the sink.
Right.
Super cheap, super simple.
Yeah.
Concrete and spray foam insulation for the walls. You're going to be living inside a Yeti cup.
Yeah.
Heated with wood because I'm a classic kind of man and I think that'll be simpler.
Yeah.
And you know, everything else electric. What do you need?
Yeah.
There should be no reason.
High speed internet. I got a game in this Yeti cup, bro.
fiber internet is in Indiana, so just go with that.
Yeah.
But I mean,
that's so cool though.
If you're just starting a family.
Yeah. Why not? Well, you need something that you can like, and then you can grow from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not financially devastating to buy this house.
Right.
And we're not serving the, I just need somewhere to sleep community.
We're not.
We're serving the McMansion community.
Yeah.
Oh, you can buy a house. What about a second one?
Right.
What about a bigger one? What? It needs to be like by the lake, right?
Do you want to put your wife on the other side so you can't talk to her? We can help you out with that.
What the hell is with that? Why do I need a house where I need to call somebody?
Yeah. Well, I had a buddy who's an electrician, and he was going off on can lights. He's like, dude, just people put so many lights. They just, you know, go for it. He had put so many lights just like everywhere. And it's just like, he said, if you want me to.
I'm good now.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you coming to Indiana. All right. So you did some RV stuff. And has working at a bank helped you with some of those financial principles, figuring out different things?
It's taught me to speak their language.
Okay.
I have a podcast voice and I have a customer service voice.
Yeah.
I've recently grown a talking to management voice.
Nice. Yeah.
That's something a lot of our generation doesn't have.
Right.
We think that, oh, well, there's just the customer service voice and that's what you should use on management. Fuck that.
Right. No.
No, there's a whole political side of economics that I didn't even know about.
Oh, really?
I wasn't included in. I was, you know, an 8-month employee before I, 8 months was the longest job I ever held until I got this job. Mm. And now I'm working on 2 years.
Wow.
There is an entire political version of me that is just making sure that my boss has a happy idea of who I'm at. I am when I'm not around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's
reputation, really.
Well, reputation, but not that. I have to sate this motherfucker's ego. Yeah. Because he decides whether or not I get to feed my family.
Right. Raises or move or all that fun stuff.
Or if I have a job.
Yeah.
Because if he comes in with a bad mood and he's going to fire somebody.
Yeah.
Because he wants to, and he wants to reflect that power to feel better about himself.
Sometimes things constrict. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
The redwoods die.
The redwoods die.
Right. And so what
Derek
do you
could die?
And you know, or like, let's say they get rid of one location because they have to pull in their energy to be focused on one. Who are they going to cut?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be the person that's been bad mouthing them or the person who's been like a good employee and nice to them?
And they like.
And they like.
You promote people that are pretty.
Yeah.
And you like.
Yeah.
And that's a detriment to all my boys that are in the middle, a millennial generation that are in the Gen Z generation. Do not lose weight for a woman. Do not lose weight for yourself. Lose weight for your pocketbook.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
If you look like you know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah.
And a fat guy never looks like he knows what the hell he's doing.
Some of them do, bro.
Well,
some of them.
He's a fat cat.
Yeah. You know?
He's the banker.
He's a pimp, bro. It is what it is.
He's the banker from Despicable Me. But the idea of mastering yourself as an outward expression of ability.
Yeah. There's something to like, oh, yeah, he's got his stuff together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just going to give
whether they do or not.
Yeah.
It's but just the first appearance, I think.
Opportunities thrown into your lap, dude.
Yeah. So you are learning this level of things and it's been, new level of things too.
People say it's shitty and double handed and well, aren't you just playing their game? Yes, I'm playing their game. They're in charge.
Yeah, I got to play their game.
The dream is a farm.
Yeah.
The fuck away from all of this.
Yeah.
But until then, no.
Yeah.
No,
I think so many people our age have that same dream.
Mm-hmm.
The homesteading, I mean, that's all the cottage court. Like, I'm looking, and when I look at Instagram, maybe it's just because I interact with that information, but there's so much like farmstead. And I hear it from a lot of my friends too. They're like, I just want a couple acres where I can just grow my own food, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's interesting. It's being re-sown into like the fabric of our society right now.
Yeah. Waking up, walking outside with a cup of coffee. Sitting on your own porch that's yours. You don't have to worry about no landlords.
Right.
Looking out and seeing a beautiful view.
Yeah.
What?
Beat that.
What could be better?
Yeah,
there's a primal instinct inside of our minds that says do exactly that.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't need to live in middle America suburbia.
Right.
That's the land of depression. That's the land of
pain
of
pills keeping, and all
pain pills stuff. Keeping up with the Joneses.
Yep.
not to mention suburbia is a net drain on the economy.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at like cost to benefit ratio, so any suburban, and I'm talking about building a track myself, but like any suburban, anything is going to drain the economy. You see Detroit as an economic center and everybody living in suburbia, everything there costs, nothing there gains.
Wow. Didn't the suburbia really, I mean, the suburbs of Detroit are still bumping like the outer rings.
You think so, but no. They're not.
Yeah.
That's all tax incentive. That's all
really?
Credit. The second the credit stops,
it's gone.
Suburbia is gone.
Wow. Yeah. That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's locus.
That's not my dream though. I think there's a lot of people that are like, yeah, I don't want that dream of this copycat houses.
There's a lot of people who do. You'd be surprised.
Really?
A lot of people whose suburbia is their entire personality, is who they are.
Wow.
The NPCs. You've heard of
sir.
NPC
not
kind of
player characters. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Suburbia is where they want to be. And there's more NPCs than there are PCs.
Right. Wow. Yeah. There was an NPC test some kid walks up to me and threw water on me. I was like, okay. And I just kept rolling. He's like, you're not an NPC. Like, it blew his mind that I didn't, like, freak out at him. It wasn't, he was a dude that I knew. It wasn't like it was some rando, just some middle schooler just seeing who's NPC, who's not. But it was pretty funny. I'm like, all right, cool. And just kept on rolling. He's like, yeah, like most people would freak out. Oh, that's my NPC test. I'm like, all right.
There's a lot of them. That's a little extreme for me, but just ask somebody what their core values are, their fundamental principles to pull the Jordan Peterson. Like, what makes you tick? And if their initial thought is panic, they've never thought about themselves in that way ever.
Yeah. They've never been was self-reflecting and thought through things.
They're comfortably numb.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's in a song somewhere, but
yeah. Do you feel like, well, 2 years at one job, congratulations, bro. That's really cool that you're like flexing those muscles a little bit. 'Cause there's a honeymoon phase to a job, and then getting past that, you're like, this is real.
Oh yeah. And well, it's all a part of the goal. If I had a better job tomorrow, I'd get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have no loyalty to Intera 'cause Intera has no loyalty to me.
Yeah.
You know, on the corporate level, they're just the same as all BlackRock and everything, man. They care about profit margin.
Right. Right.
And they're going to line their own pockets, and they're going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But if I can use that to
keep moving,
to get high enough to where I can afford a wife, I can, when I say afford a wife, I mean buy a house.
Yeah. Thailand. I understand. No, or Russia, right? Ukraine.
Russia. Man, Russia is the place to go. They're beautiful.
Going back to me working at a teller job in college, there was a guy and his brother both bought Russian wives, and those Russian wives came in and their kids. I felt so like there's no love there. It sounds nice on paper, but when I saw the reality of it, I'm like, yeah.
No, I'm just talking about affording the lifestyle where you're going to have a stay-at-home wife.
Yeah.
And I'm for Russian brides because Russians and all of Eastern Europe are traditional.
Yeah.
They're traditional. They believe
in
a male. Yeah.
Yeah.
They believe in a male role. They believe in a female role.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight my wife. I just want to have a wife who does wifely things, and I'll do husbandly things. And every once in a while, we'll do some romantic shit. The Bible speaks of two people becoming one flesh. It should not be a job to make sure that you're feeling this and feeling that and blah, blah, and all the shit American women do. I just want a soulmate. I want a woman who joins with me, becomes one flesh, and we live our lives.
Have you thought that that person is out there? Have you had that thought before?
Oh, there's 1,000 people like that out there.
Yeah. Do you think that there's... So, for me, there was a realization that one person... Like, what if there's 1,000 people, there may be 1,000 people out there, but one of them, and that one out of 1,000, and you are going to connect at some point. Right? Would you say?
I'm not into the whole fate thing. I'm into the idea of I've chosen you as my wife. Now I'm going to continue to choose you as my wife until I die.
Yeah.
I don't care if Lindy Sue was a better match. I've picked
my match. For sure. But at some point you will pick them. That connection will happen, right?
God willing, because she has to pick me too.
Right. It has to. It's interesting because like a couple of years ago, before I was even married, I started praying for the person that was my wife and thinking of it as a real individual human. So I would pray for that person, just like, hey, Lord, you know, I'm just asked for that. Their day goes well, that things are going good for them, that you're growing them in the way that you're growing me. Like almost praying for a specific person, even though I had no clue who it was, because I really believed that that person was out there. And at some point I would be like locked up, and I want God to be preparing them like they're preparing me, you know? It's just, it was weird because I didn't know who it was at all. And to take it a little bit step further, I remember when I started praying for it, and I talked to my wife, and when I started praying for her, not knowing who she was, and at a time in her life, she was going through some tough things. So it was like I was praying for her specifically, even though I didn't know who she was, what she was doing, anything. I didn't know. We had never even collided at that point, really. And so it's just really fascinating when you like walk back a little bit, years later, you can kind of look back. You're like, what was that? And, you know, I don't know who, I don't think, there's a thousand, you're right. There's so many people I could connect with and talk to. But for some reason, I was praying for this person specifically, not knowing who she was. And it was very impactful for her life at that time, whether it was or not. But like looking back at that, it was really fascinating to make those connections a bit. So now that's what I was just thinking. Oh, have you ever thought about that?
That's fucking beautiful.
Yes.
I love it. I wish I was that noble. Well, right now, I'm praying that the Lord provide me with the finances and the intellect to manage those finances in a way that my wife, when she arrives, will be content.
Yeah. There's you're 100, you're on point, because having a family and both of you working is tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's so tough. So you're seeing correctly, bro. You're totally seeing correctly. You're on point for sure.
For my Excel spreadsheet boys out there, that's $33 an hour. I'll get you to 70 grand. That's the average two-parent income wage.
Yeah.
So 70 grand's the goal.
Yeah.
That's 33 bucks an hour. I'm going to try to find that job.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder if it's like in this world, you almost have to do a couple different things to be able to hit that. Or be so skilled that people will pay you for that.
Exactly. And you don't get that working for somebody.
Yeah.
You get that working for yourself.
Right.
But to work for yourself, you got to work for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You got to work up to having the business proposal to take to the bank to say, I want $8 million cash right now.
Yeah.
And them say yes.
Right.
You got to have your shit together.
Right. To be able to make it all work.
Exactly. Yeah. And until then, just get a job, do what you hate that pays good.
Yeah. Well, in every job that you do, and you know, from the night audit that you did back in the day to whatever small thing, you grow skills.
Mm-hmm.
You grow. I mean, you're doing something. You're becoming skilled at something. If you can hone that towards something, you'll slow time. Allows those redwood trees to grow.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It doesn't happen overnight. It takes years.
Well, and let's talk about the fires.
Mm-hmm.
Redwood trees are insulated from fire. Their bark is actually fire resistant.
Really?
That's why you'll get a redwood tree that's struck by lightning. The core will burn up, but the bark and the wood on the outside will still be there.
Wow.
So, and they're insect repellent. That's why we loved them. That's why we cut them all down, is because they make great, great deck wood.
That's so sad.
Yeah. But what I was trying to get at is that you have a fire go through. We have a lot of invasive species in the redwood forest.
Mm.
And what fixes those invasive species is a big old fire.
Wow.
And it'll take them all out because they're not resistant to that.
Wow.
And then you get groves of new growth redwood that are just ready to go.
Wow. Yeah. Cause they're ready. They've been through it. They've been prepared for it.
You should look up the pine cone of a redwood tree in somebody's hand.
The pine cone of a redwood tree in someone's hand. Okay.
Yes. Specifically in someone's hand to get the scale of it. Because the largest tree on the planet has a pine cone that's that big.
Wow. Just like an inch. Pine cone tree. And wow. Yeah. They're holding it with two like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a cluster of them.
That's the one hand has like 20 of them in his hand. His palm. That's nuts.
Yeah, so it's a real American version of the mustard tree.
Wow.
The mustard seed becomes the tree.
That can move mountains. That's so cool.
So you got the redwood that starts out as the most
tiniest little
acorn, little
pine cone.
And becomes the mightiest of all the trees.
That is nuts. And it's prepared specifically for all of its environment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think God's doing that to us in a way?
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. We are, it describes us as gems of his house, that he builds his house with us.
Mm, yeah.
And so if I want a diamond, I'm going to put it under the most pressure possible.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it under the most heat as possible.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make that coal's life hell.
Right. Right.
Because it had better be what it needs to be.
Wow.
And that's every single gemstone.
Yeah. it's put under the pressure to be able to shine like it does. Mm-hmm. That's go ahead.
I was going to say, and a gemstone can't grow unless its fundamental pieces are around it. Mm. So you need the community. You need other coal turning into diamond to be bigger diamond.
Wow. What, can you tell me a little bit about your faith journey?
Oh, well, a real rough childhood, yep. A lot of abuse, a lot of all this other stuff. I was a believer since I was four.
Wow.
I sat on the pew. I heard the man say that God is the greatest. I ran up. I saved me.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Right.
Full on. I got baptized when I was nine. When I was 11, I was homeless and hungry. And I went to the pastor and I said, please feed me. I'm homeless and hungry. Help.
Yeah.
And he said, no, you haven't tithed.
Oh, at 11.
At 11. I was a big kid. I looked a bit.
Yeah.
11.
You're 42. But yeah.
No. But I firmly looked in my teens from like nine. But he's like, no, go away. And I left the church full on at 11. I was just like, people are the problem.
Yeah.
And it was me and God versus the world.
Right.
And so I'd read scripture and I'd read scripture and I'd fight with the clergy and I'd fight with believers because fuck you. How could you do that to me?
Right.
But I never lost my faith in the Lord.
Right.
Like he is 100% real to me. Like there's been moments I can tell you off air that he has made himself known.
Mm.
He is the Lord. And from 11 until I was 22, I was just angry at the world.
Mm-hmm.
How fucking dare you call yourself the church?
And then not act like that. And not be Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, just a bunch of satanic boomers.
Yeah.
And
there's some truth to that.
I came across a scripture that said, you shall not forsake the gathering together.
Mm. Yeah.
And it really hit home. I'm like, well, crap.
Mm-hmm.
I've just spent the last 11 years
on my own,
forsaking the gathering together.
Yep.
And so I joined church after church after church. I've been kicked out of church after church after church because I call them on their shit.
Yeah.
But again, learning that political aspect of human nature and learning that, like, walking through things and having the confidence to speak truth. I've found churches that are true God-fearing churches.
Yeah. There's a remnant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there will be a falling away when the economic, and they blame God for what is their fault.
I think even now, like, it's not cool to be a Christian anymore.
Oh, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
It's going to get a lot worse.
Yeah.
I think in America, we'll see atheistic genociding of Christians like we saw in the Soviet Socialist Republic.
Hmm. Just burn them.
Well, it'll be worse than that, but it'll be make an example of this person because this person is the reason that our economy failed. They'll blame the Christians.
Wow. When do you think that's going to happen?
I think ballpark, and I'll go through my reasons, and this will be a nice step into that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking 2025, 2026.
Wow. So in like 2-3 years.
Yeah. Now, markets can remain irrational for much longer than that, but... one or two things will happen after the election. A Democrat will get in.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a civil war because a Democrat's not going to win.
Yeah. The tension's already there.
Yeah. And look at Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's going to distract America enough to no longer be the global hegemon. Mm-hmm. BRICS will take over.
Hmm.
A lot of things will happen in the foreign markets that I'll get into after I get into the American markets. But a Democrat wins civil war. A Republican wins. We're going to see what happened in
2016,
2019.
Okay.
We're going to have another COVID issue, no, but not COVID. I'm just saying
another.
They're going to tank the economy intentionally.
Emergency.
Yes.
Something.
We had fucking Ebola when Obama was in.
Right.
It was in America.
No one bad enough.
No one cared.
So just some kids got messed up. I remember that.
Yeah.
Deal.
And a lot of, another Florida face eaters. Like, oh, well.
Yeah.
You know, like toxic waste river that they caught on fire in Idaho or wherever the hell that happened. Yeah. No one gives a fuck.
Yeah, no big deal.
Trump's in office? Oh, it's the flu. Shut everything down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's going to get worse. The next round, because America's pissed off, is going to be even more tyrannical.
Mm.
They're going to tank the economy on purpose because it's what they do every time. If the people, Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. If the people get what they want and what they need and it's going towards them and away from the hegemon,
mm-hmm.
they tank the economy.
Hmm. To keep back control and power.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if I'm starving, I don't really give a shit what my politicians are doing.
Right.
I want my next meal.
Right. Right. Do whatever you need. Give me my bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Exactly.
And so that's why it's going to happen in such a close, sooner time.
Right. Right. And so we'll see an economic crisis happen. Yep. Whatever that black swan is,
mm-hmm.
is what it is. But the commercial real estate market will collapse.
Yeah. It's already heading that way.
Right. Right. It's already headed that way. But it's, we all believe that as America, we're never going to fail. And that belief is what's keeping us floating. Nothing else.
Right.
So the commercial real estate falls. That means that the real estate in the private sector for us, you know, houses,
right.
will be sold off by these mega corporations.
Right. Tanking the cost.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Covering their losses in the commercial sector.
Wow.
It'll create another 2008.
Right.
But since we're so over leveraged in everything else, and we've gone from a housing bubble to an everything bubble.
Right.
We're going to see hyperinflation.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, the cost of what milk, right, was $3. Now it's $20. Right. Because mm-hmm. everything's now hyperinflated.
It's going to be more than that.
$100, $1,000,
$10,000, $20,000, right. $50,000.
Kind of like what it was like pre World War II.
I'm talking Weimar Germany. We're going to use money to use as wallpaper.
Right.
The American dollar, if we go into civil war or if we have a black flag, will lose hegemon in the rest of the world for oil.
Hmm.
That's the only reason the world cares about the dollar.
Right, because of oil.
Yes.
Yeah. Because right now, if you want oil, you have to buy it in dollar.
Kinda.
Yeah.
The BRICS nations tried to kick that off, but the problem is China is too insular because they're a communist nation. They don't want to lose control of their yen.
Mm.
Their
yen's tied to the dollar?
No. The yen would have to be released for scrutiny for the other BRICS nations.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't want that.
Yeah, no. And there's several YouTubers I watch that are Chinese people that know about China, that know what's going on. And China's real estate market's even worse than ours.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's total garbage.
And people are like, yeah, I will buy a house that will be built in 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Here's all the money. I'll wait till 30 years till it's built. Like I've heard, you know, they're like at that level of
Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And their economy exists because our economy feeds them.
Right.
If our economy tanks, their economy tanks.
Wow. So we're tied at the hip.
Yeah.
And then it's like China's the main evil.
Well, they like to think that.
Yeah.
But for the last 20 years, they've been trying to get off that American dollar and plant their own tree. And there's been, oh, we don't want that to happen. China, yeah. Free China, and yeah. Yada, yada. It's
that's fascinating.
Yeah, no, all the CCP
mm-hmm.
is America. Like,
no, I know. Yeah, I'm seeing both. We don't have the social credit score yet, but we will. Like, we're tied. It's tied more than it's ever been.
Yeah, we collapse, they collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Then your big players are India and Russia.
Right.
Russia is a gold-based system.
Oh, really?
Their dollar is direct, or their ruble is directly connected to gold. 1 gram of gold is 5,000 rubles.
Wow. Okay.
100% directly connected.
Wow.
The dollar tanks, gold and silver skyrocket.
And they're the highest. They're super, super high right now.
Well, they're going to go higher. Did you see what Miyazaki? Robert Kiyosaki.
Yeah.
Said,
Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yep.
He said Bitcoin at a million. I'm not a big fan of Bitcoin, but Bitcoin at a million. Gold, 75,000. Silver, 65,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
I should buy some silver.
Yes, you should, my friend.
Oh, so you're... Do you keep that on you at all times?
Most times. Anytime I'm wearing this vest.
That's nice. That's awesome. And it's so heavy, too. I love
it's
that.
Real is what it is.
Yeah. It's tangible.
Exactly.
Yeah. With and Bitcoin, it's not.
So all these derivatives and all this other crap in the stock market right now that's hyperinflating everything, all of it's fake.
Mm-hmm.
All of it's fugazi, to quote right. Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's nothing holding it up but belief. And right. The second we hit some stormy weather, these are fair weather.
Well, you saw with COVID, boom, it just tanked so quickly with COVID.
It tanked so quickly with COVID, and that was just a preview.
Right.
That was just
a little cough.
Well, before you catch the flu.
Right.
When you're like, oh shit, in 2 days, this is going to suck. Everybody's seeing it. Nobody wants to say anything because acknowledging it is summoning it. It's the human idea that, like, well, don't mention it. It won't be a problem. You know? You know how people get.
Yeah.
And so you get America that falls, China falls, Russia, and Iceland. Iceland's also a gold-based economy.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I know that.
You're going to see booms in their economy.
Yeah.
The Nordic countries will probably tighten up and stop their social housing. Western Europe's going to fall. NATO's going to fall. And then you'll see an expansion, a reabsorption of Eastern Bloc nations into mothered Russia.
Because of their economy.
Yeah, because of their economy and because they're just leaning on whoever's the strongest at the time.
Yeah.
These aren't real nations.
Right.
And all my Eastern European brothers, I get that you think you are, but let's be real. You've been under the boot heel of Germany and the EU for so long, you do not have a national identity.
Mm. It's just German.
Well, they run the EU.
I mean, they're the most efficient. They know what they're doing.
The reason Greece fell is because they were the scapegoat for the last economic crisis. Yeah. They're like, fuck it, let's sell it all to Greece.
Yeah, yeah. Germans are on point with everything. I mean, they're machines, bro. It's crazy.
Well, but it's never been a good thing when they're on top.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm not advocating for that. It's just interesting to watch.
They're
the ones that push. They're the ones that like are the ones building the economy. Where we talk about Greece. I mean, I remember reading articles about them, how they just are like massive unemployment, mm-hmm. and the inflation's crazy. All that stuff.
All the derivatives of the housing got sold to Greece. That's what happened in 2008.
Really?
They took the brunt. What happened to Greece in 2008? Was America and the EU went, let's find a dummy.
And sold it to them?
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
No way.
Greece is the center of culture in the world.
Yeah.
Greece.
It's where democracy came from.
It's where democracy came from. Mm-hmm. It's where the Socratic method came from.
Yeah.
Philosophy. How the hell are Greek philosophers in the worst, because they got tricked by some superpowers. You know, no, they, like if Greece was concerned about themselves, they would have never felt for that.
But they
went with a lucre idea,
right,
of making money dubiously,
right?
And they're like, well, fuck it, we'll just do what the Americans do. We'll do what Germany and the EU does.
Let's gamble on it. Let's go for it.
Yeah,
all on black.
And Germany and the EU went. We're out.
Yeah. Wow. And tank Greece. That's fascinating. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Greece, I love you guys. You are the center of the world's culture.
Yeah. You gave us so much.
Dude, do you know they found Troy?
Where was it? No, I didn't know that.
It was in Greece.
Yeah.
It was, that's the Roman, myth is that the Trojans fled from Troy because they were overrun,
mm-hmm.
and they founded Rome.
Wow.
We found the place they fled.
Wow. Was from Greece. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Like you get a lot of people that are saying that Africa is the cradle of civilization, but everything happened in the Mediterranean, specifically the Eastern Mediterranean.
Yeah. Egypt was, there's some stuff in Egypt too. And a lot of Greek, like Greek philosophers, they would go to Egypt and get knowledge, forbidden knowledge. You know what I'm saying? And they would get, They would get some hidden mysticism and then bring it back. Aristotle.
Have you looked into Atlantis and all that stuff?
I have. Yeah, I've looked into some of that stuff. That's not the main conspiracies I run, but I do peek and dust off the cover of stuff.
I'm totally into the idea that the Eye of the Sahara is Atlantis. Where Atlantis was. Mm,
yeah.
And Atlantis speaks of themselves as a colony nation of this precursor civilization. Well, if you're a Christian and you're a young Earth creationist, there was a precursor civilization that pissed off God.
Right, right.
And you get the Atlanteans that go, oh, fuck you, God. We got our own thing.
Right.
And a bunch of demonic influences, and they worship false gods.
Yep.
And that pisses off God good and right, and he just wipes them out. Yeah. Everybody asks me, if you're a young Earth creationist, where'd the floodwaters go? The floodwaters are still here.
Yeah, they're the oceans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you look at...
Well, you got Pangaea.
Well, look at Pangaea. If you shrink the size of the Earth, Pangaea aligns on the entire Earth is one landmass. If you shrink Earth.
Oh, wow. And then if it expands. That's interesting.
The water goes into the... That's why the continental crust... And the oceanic crust are different crusts. They were made at different times. One was made at creation. One was made at a destruction event.
Mm-hmm. The flood.
Yeah.
And every single culture has a flood event.
Mm-hmm.
That's been pretty proven. I was reading the Epic of Gilgamesh. Are you familiar with that at all? Mm-hmm. It's Babylonian, Mesopotamian. And when they discovered this text, this was discovered in the 1800s. It flipped people out because it was the first really documented story, because they talk about the great floods.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been kind of like a saying, a myth. They've heard it. But then they have a documented piece that said, yes, there's floods. And they're talking about the floods. It flipped everyone out because it was just confirming what the Bible said.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, my word. But yeah.
Right, right. So everything, nothing is new under the sun.
Yeah.
Everything, it rhymes. It doesn't come up with its own new stuff.
Isn't that Mark Twain? Yeah, the history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes.
Hell yeah,
yeah.
It rhymes.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is another catastrophe event coming our way.
Mm.
Only this time we have the internet. We have the ability to look into the past, to notice these patterns.
Yeah.
And since these catastrophes take forever to show up, It's an iceberg rolling over your house.
Right.
Like, it's going to take forever. It's going to be horrible. Just shoot me and get it over with. These events, I think, are more draining and waiting for them than they are when they happen.
Because
when they happen, the paradigm shifts.
It's like, oh, I know the pressure's coming. But then when the pressure's there, okay, and I'm done.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's like, crap. The end is coming. The end is coming. The end is coming. Once it's come and we're now in a new paradigm, great. I can live my life in the new paradigm.
Yeah. What's that new paradigm look like, you think? You've kind of alluded to it. More local, a lot less of these like large corporations running things.
Mm-hmm. The power bases will move.
Mm-hmm.
So America will become a backwater. We'll get a lot of more fracturing of the society.
Mm.
Nothing holds us together anymore. In
more states based than instead of.
Well, yeah, it'll be like, regional states too. We'll probably get four or five Americas on the other end.
Right. Yeah. The West, the East, the South, the North, the Midwest, like something like that.
Pacific Northwest, the Southwest will get reabsorbed by Mexico.
Mm.
They essentially did to us what we did to them when we got Texas.
So yeah.
What we did was we just sent in a bunch of settlers into Texas because it was largely uninhabited.
Yeah.
And the Mexicans were like, please bring your people. And we did. And then when we got all there and we all had guns, they're like, crap, go away. And like, nope,
we're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Indian situation also played a really fascinating factor. I think,
that too. Anytime you get a civilization of people with technology and people without, you're going to get that. It's going to happen. I'm not excusing it, but it's human nature.
I read this book. It was about kind of just the whole, the plains tribes and then just the fizzling out of it, 200 years of that. kind of war.
It didn't help that we showed up and 90% of them died.
Right. And then we showed up and then more and more and more and more and more of us. I mean, we were just droves.
And why is an American unique to European culture, to South American culture? It's because a bunch of people from Europe went, you mean I can start my life over and I can start with nothing and I can build something?
Yeah, I'm down. Let's go.
I'm down. Let's go. And just conquered America because they said, go ahead.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. And that's what we'll have again is the bureaucracy will die down. The local governments will rise up. You'll get local corruption.
Yeah. Local, we already have the local corruption.
Local
corruption, at least for sure.
Came into that one. Local corruption's a lot easier to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Federal corruption.
Yeah, I can't do anything.
Yeah, they have the CIA. They'll just snipe you.
Yeah.
Clinton suicide.
Right. Wow. Yeah, it's just a couple hundred people have died. They've been close to Clinton. No big deal. Never.
Just in case, I am not suicidal. Yeah. Clinton did it.
Yeah. Wow. That's, I love this, man. This is like the vein of the world I kind of live in already. A little conspiracy, a little fringe. And
when the conspiracy starts at Pedophile Island, we know it's fucked.
Well, it's crazy that was the one that woke everyone up.
Yeah.
Like that was the conspiracy that's like, oh, that's a conspiracy. And everyone's like, no.
Here's
the proof. It's not.
Here's the proof. We just had that rapper come out and he's about to get hit with it too.
Diddy.
Whatever.
Right. One of them.
P. Diddy. Daddy Dog or something like that. It's all filmed. It's all going to come out. It's going to be worse than Epstein. And like I said, it's going to get a lot worse than it gets better.
Yeah.
The problem is that Hollywood is run by lucre.
Yes.
All these movies have been like, China's the number one. China's going to take over the world and yada, yada. And the economy of China is unstoppable. Have you ever seen Looper?
Where like they in and out of time, right? They come back. And I remember
they shoot fellers.
Yeah. Yes. As they come back, they pop them, right?
Yeah. Well, in Looper, the guy from the future that got sent back to manage everything said China's the superpower. And then in the future, he goes to China, even though he really wanted to go to France.
Okay.
They only put that in there because China is one of the biggest markets to sell movies in.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that in some of the Avengers, there was a Tibetan monk and they removed him when they... Publishing.
Yes, because Taiwan doesn't exist.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's America's official statement, is there is the one China policy. Fuck you. Tibet exists.
Yep.
Hong Kong is the real China.
Yeah.
The CCP is the false China. Hong Kong is the real China. I don't care what you have to say, China. Shoot me. It was the Clintons.
It was the Clintons. Who is China?
Even if it was China, it was the Clintons.
Yeah. Yeah.
They outsourced it to the Clintons.
Yeah, exactly. They paid them off.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
But
what?
Where was it in the economy?
No, I would like to ask you, as we talk about this fracture coming as kind of this next event coming, what would you suggest for people to do to maybe batten down the hatches and get ready? Buy silver.
But don't just buy silver. Buy beans, buy rice. $20 for a bag of beans, $20 for a bag of rice. That's 20 pounds a pop. It's a pound dollar. For a dollar.
Right.
And buy meat.
Hmm.
Buy whole shares of beef.
Yeah.
Fill your freezer. Learn to salt cure meat in case you lose power.
Yeah.
Buy a lot of salt.
So just stock up on the essentials.
Stock up on the essentials and don't stock up on pretty shit.
Yeah.
Stock up on stuff that will make you survive.
Right.
Because there's going to be famine and you don't want to be one of the zombies.
Right. Like hungry, worry. Yeah. It's interesting because those are things that I've felt as well. Like, you walked into our backyard and we want to have no lawn. All garden. Mm-hmm. Basically, that's the goal at some point.
Good luck in the city limits.
Yeah. It's interesting. If you walk around downtown Goshen, there's a lot of gardeners. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of gardeners. Mm-hmm. I know Goshen is got a reputation, but there is a lot of people who are self-sufficient in this area.
Oh, regenerative agriculture, mm-hmm. that whole idea. Everybody's like, oh, it's the damn hippies. And it's no. You have a lot of down to earth conservatives that are mm-hmm. just like, I want to live this way.
And even like pretty liberal people as well. I've met a lot.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Regenerative farming. I've met a lot of we call them Goshen College people, you know, and but there is, at least they're on that point of like, let's make sure that we're pouring back into the earth and it's then feeding us, you know. It's beautiful to see some of that stuff. There's a big garden community here.
The fact of the matter is that monocropping and what they're feeding us and we don't need to use all these poisons. Yes, you'll get a lower yield per acre.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I'm not interested in lucre. I'm interested in what's sustainable and what make my next generation start off on a better foot than I did.
Right. Give the nutrients to the next generation. Yeah. Give them the platform.
Yeah, so exactly. They can keep growing. Be that tree that falls down.
Right. Right.
Be the tree that falls down so that the future can rise up.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Dude, that's so solid. We've done it. We've done an hour and a half.
Really?
Yeah. Should we end it?
I don't know, man. I haven't even talked about like the other sides of the economic collapse, man. Because like I think that Russia was one of the richest places to be. It was,
period.
It was happening.
Yeah.
Back in the day before the Bolshevik Revolution.
Okay. Before communism.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay.
Yeah. Before communism, at least St. Petersburg and Moscow. I'm well aware that the rest of Russia, it really sucked to be a peasant.
But yeah, yeah.
I think we'll see with the Poland and Russia and the Finland and Sweden and all those nations, because they're bastions of old world culture.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like high society shit.
Right.
And it's baked into their people.
They've got royalty in their DNA, right? They've got the it's just,
well, they're the land of fuck around and find out. The fun fact: Scotland actually has that as
their motto. Burrito. Really?
Yeah, it's Old English and fluffy, but if you translate it to modern American, it's fuck around and find out.
So you see that happening again here in the U.S.? Is that what you're saying?
I think we'll get regional countries.
Okay.
We'll get a lot more fuck around and find out. We have the most guns.
Right.
So our countries will be the most fuck around and find out.
Right, right. Out of any other country.
Culturally and societally, cohesion.
Right.
Europe's good. Asia's good. A lot of the third world nations will stop being puppet nations and either collapse or become thriving economies.
Yeah.
Right now, the problem is America and China control a lot of the economic flow.
Yeah. They're supplementing, giving money,
help this guy, hurt this guy, right. Fuck around and find out.
Right.
We got the biggest country. We got the nukes.
Right. Right.
We'll see a relocalization of all the world's economies.
Hmm.
And you'll see India, Russia, and maybe, if we're lucky, maybe parts of America.
Hmm.
And then we can end it on that.
Dude, yeah, you got my brain spinning. That's really fascinating. That is interesting. Because if it is more local, that breaks the one world, like one world narrative. Mm-hmm. But if we don't, then the one world narrative, it either goes to it or it doesn't.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? And in Revelation, you see three superpowers coming together at the Valley of Armageddon mm-hmm. to bring on Armageddon, where Christ will come down from the heavens and destroy all of their armies.
Right.
But I don't think that, like the boomers like to say, well, the end of the world's around the corner. I think that's because they're afraid of death.
Yeah.
And it would be much easier if
every generation said that.
Yeah. Well, I think the boomers specifically, because death and the loss of control to them terrifies them.
Right.
And so you'll see them saying, oh, it's the end of the world because we're dying.
Right.
You'll see a lot of Christian Americans link America's economy with God's will for the world.
Yeah.
God hates us. We're awful if the economy is doing bad. God loves us. He wants us to conquer the world if we're doing good. America, the country, is the God to a lot of boomers.
Wow.
And so they want, because of their pride, they want to see the end of the world. But God's not going to be mocked. He's going to do it on his own timing.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot more things that
we can't tell him what to do.
I think maybe when we're 90.
Right.
But I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it. It's been 2,000 years since Christ, you know, ascended.
Yeah.
We can wait a little longer.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, like, it's interesting because we, you know, and maybe this was when I was younger, I thought we had everything figured out. You know, and as I get older, I realize we don't know anything. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, we have no clue what's going on. But, you know, I feel like the church was like, this is exactly when Jesus is coming. And now Y2K, right? It's going to happen on.
If anybody says that's the day.
Yeah.
That's the day we know it's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. And so I love that idea. It makes it a little bit more like, long term too. You don't have to be so we run in this spirit of fear, like, okay, we have to be doing all this stuff because God's coming right now.
Oh yeah, no, if God's coming, great.
Right.
But I'm gonna live my life as the man given the talents.
Right.
And do something with the talents given. I'm not gonna bury the silver and say, God's coming, so I better bury it so I have it.
Right.
No, I'm gonna do something with it. I'm gonna be productive.
Right.
And if God comes or not, he's gonna see me doing his work.
Part of, you know, doubling your silver is risking it. You know what I mean? You risk, you kind of have to, like, I'm going to put this up and see if I can do this to make it all work. I mean, it's not burying
this,
is
this is silver. If I just buried it, it's not going to do any good.
Right.
And a lot of people say when you buy silver, you're just burying it because you're not putting it to work. I believe this, the reason I bought it, because it's undervalued, because it's going to do something, because it's going to grow. And then I'm going to sell it and buy other assets like houses and whatnot.
Land that can, a cow or what, right. You know, you paid whatever for this. And then in, you know, 20 years, it might buy a cow or two.
Cow or two, yeah.
Right?
Well, or this right here is 5 ounces.
Okay.
At $25 an ounce, that's $125.
Right.
I didn't buy it at $125, but this is what this is worth.
Right. Now.
Now, $65,000 an ounce, like Robert Kiyosaki said.
Right. If that's 5 ounces, yeah, I can't do that math, but it's a lot more.
It's a lot.
Couple hundred thousand.
It's a house.
Yeah.
It's property. That's, it's taking people like you. It's taking people like me and saying, do you want to do a community?
Right.
Because, yeah, sure, I'm the finance guy, but that doesn't mean I'm the guy who knows how to farm.
Right.
I don't know how to build shit.
Right.
Like,
you need a community.
Bring them in. Right. Humble yourself. And grow a community. Do not forsake the gathering together.
I love that, man. Let's end on that. That's a positive note. Community. Aaron, bro, thanks so much for coming, bro. This has been fun.
Great. It's been great.
Yeah, it's a lot. Once you start going, it's like, yeah.
I didn't think I'd have an hour and a half of shit to say. So
I think you have 10 hours, bro. I think we could sit here for 10 hours and get into some real fun
stuff. If you ever need me back, we can get into more details. We can digest this.
What I'm going to do is get some conspiracies together that I've been looking on and then see. I want to run them past you.
Oh, I'm totally in.
I could tell, man. I like to leave a call for action. Do you have a place where people can find you? If not, that's okay. But
you know, I'm a ghost on social media. I am a strict observer of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
A call to action would be the change you want to see, man. You are a man. Go do man shit. Whatever that is for you.
I love it. Aaron, bro, thanks so much for coming on. I've had a blast.
It has been great. Yeah. It's been great.
Peace out, everybody. Peace. We'll see you on the next Tim's Podcast.
Bye.